Okay. Think of the last sports event you attended. Maybe it was a Tigers game. Maybe it was a college football game. How many women were sitting there, really following the action, cheering along as true fans? That question intrigued University of Michigan sociology professor Andy Markovitz and U of M law student Emily Albertson enough for them to research and co-author their new book, Sportista, Female Fandom in the United States. Welcome to both of you. And first off, I love this name, so I want you to answer this first. Who or what is a sportista?
A sportista, it's a pun on fashionista. Mm-hmm. And basically, it is someone who not only is an expert in something, but also has great passion for it. So a fashionista who is not only an expert in fashion, knows about fashion, its history, da-da-da. This is, you know, Calvin Klein, 1992, versus whatever, and actually loves it. So we used it as an analogy, as a pun, to call someone who actually is a female sports lover and also sports knowledgeable about sports.
Right. Not just getting dragged to the game because your husband had tickets and so you're going to go with your girlfriend and talk while there's things going on the field and you don't care. You care if you're a sportista. Emily, what brought around the idea of exploring women as sports fans?
I grew up with my cousins were my best friends growing up and they're all boys. I'm the only girl in the family, two brothers and a whole bunch of neighbors. It was all boys all the time in college. This pattern continued as I lived with houses full of boys. So the idea for me was an easy one. It wasn't really an idea. It was more of a history of experiences like this. So the book for me was, a great opportunity to be able to kind of tell my story and to read and research about what other people have said about this idea.
The book is about Emily, actually.
Ah.
Really, it's about explaining Emily and others like her.
Other sportistas.
Other sportistas. In other words, how did women come to something in which they were actually excluded for a long time, also partly self-excluded, and how have they entered this space? How do they negotiate it? How do they live in it? And that's basically what with the conflicts or whatever, that's what we're basically
exploring.
Yeah.
So what has been the key to opening the door and getting women involved in the sports world as serious fans? What's the key?
Well, I think the key is a number of things. Number one, obviously the late 60s, early 70s, which changed the political space of all advanced industrial democracies in many, many, many
yes.
things. And women being absolutely crucial for that. So you and in your chair and that we have a female president at the University of Michigan, on and on and on. Mm-hmm. So women's entry into the public sphere has completely transformed these societies. And one of them is actually also sports. And as we show, it really changed massively on the production side. In other words, women have now are participants in sports. They run, they jog. If you look at even for the first time, our Olympic team, the majority was female. And in fact, the medal haul, which was amazing, largest ever outside of the United States, was more women than men. So that's one, and we actually have a chapter
yes,
on this.
Yes, you do, yes.
But what we're really interested in, is the Emilys, in other words, the couch potatoes, or the Andys, are basically the people who follow. And what we're arguing or finding is that even there has been a change. But in fact, women are still different in their sports behavior, in their sports consumption than men. And that's what we're really dwelling on.
We're talking with U of M professor Andy Markovitz and Emily Albertson about their book, Sportista, Female Fandom in the United States. Now, you mentioned the difference in sports consumption of men and women sports fans. What are those major differences?
So we do talk about, as you mentioned earlier, the ways in which women watch differently. The typical woman being more interested in the human interest piece and the backstory,
no
of
doubt.
Course. Also a lack of, for example, pregame, watching, pregame prediction shows, watching postgame wrap-ups, wanting to know what happened with other teams in the league to know how to contextualize your team's win or loss, really caring about the game afterward. But the sportista's experience, one of the most important parts is that as compared to her male counterparts, her peers, she doesn't have the kind of credibility, the kind of room to make a mistake, the kind of, again, credibility to have opinions. She can maybe observe but not necessarily editorialize. Her predictions and mistakes don't have the same weight as those that come from her male peers, even if and even though she has proved herself to be as knowledgeable or more so than.
So let's just say she makes a woman makes a pick.
Sure.
It's wrong, and the guys at the office go, well, of course, what does she know?
Sure,
is
yeah.
that what you mean?
This is my experience living. These are my field studies living with all my college roommates, all these guys. It was almost as though if I made some blunder, I made a bad call, I made it, a silly observation. It wasn't even like I got jumped on or I had to pay for it. It was just kind of there was no real response because it was okay and it was expected. And
it's
nobody,
Emily.
Sure. And when one of my male roommates might have made a bad pick, there was a whole conversation about it. And even though he was getting razzed for it, he was getting made fun of. I wish that they would have done that to me, too, because that would have showed that I'm part of the conversation in the same way that they all are. So I think that is one of our important in talking to these my peers and other sportistas, that was a common experience that I think is really important to understanding what the book is about.
Yes. I think, as Emily pointed out, it's women sportistas, the game is very important and the events themselves, but much less, and certainly to normal female fans, absolutely not important, are all the pre- and the post-game things and the guessing. And basically very few women watch the NFL draft, okay, which is a huge thing for men.
I agree. I see that go, why?
Well,
3 days of coverage.
I watch all 3 days.
It's funny.
Because, and that's, but either, and the point is, also as Emily pointed out clearly, is that even once women have the knowledge, it's for the men, the insiders in the club, they are skeptical of this, or it's kind of almost a potentially even occasionally threatening, or kind of, it's not one of us. And as we're arguing in the book, the reason for this is also because sports fandom is something very, very facile. It's very easy. Mm-hmm. It's not nuclear physics.
Right.
And so men establish a community, which is actually a very powerful one, but very easy to enter, actually. I mean, it's not so hard to know a lot about the Tigers, but to know about the meta Tigers and all kinds of others and, the depth of it and the history and the stats and, as Emily said, other teams, that already is harder, and that's where the differentiating happens.
I see.
So that's where any group has nothing to do, has a form of cohesion and differentiation. Okay, we are different from them, I don't know, whatever.
Yes.
So in this case, sports fans have that too. And any newcomer is kind of frowned upon. And women are definitely newcomers.
Yeah.
And so, in fact, we kind of almost say, like, she's not – how do you know this? You're actually not supposed to know that.
And I hate to say this because I've been one. I've been a reporter going into, like, the Red Wing locker room to get sound after a game. But you still kind of go, wow, look, as you see, like, a lovely young woman standing on the field getting sound during a football game. Our minds were trained to expect that to be part of the boys' club. But we are seeing some tremendously credible women sports reporters. Or not?
Here's the point, as we argue in the book.
Yeah.
Yes, but up to a point. And this is also a very interesting conundrum. That for women to enter this world, especially in the visual media, their ticket of entry is not only sports knowledge, but their beauty.
Yeah.
And which in turn immediately is also their delegitimation. Because if you're beautiful, what are you doing there? Actually, we love to look at beautiful women, we men. But do beautiful women know about why the draw play or the pass protection, whatever, and something broke down? I mean, that's sort of it's an issue, which, by the way, is not for men. And I think that goes also through the book, that for women, both women sport athletes, sports producers, but also sportistas, especially in this case, the professional ones, namely journalists,
yes,
this is an issue. In other words, how you look, how you, in both ways, and it's a serious burden.
We're talking with University of Michigan sociology professor Andy Markovitz and U of M law student Emerly Albertson, co-authors of the book Sportista, Female Fandom in the United States. Why is it that we see so few women becoming sportistas? Is it that our brains are just wired differently?
There is no reason why women should not be able to catch up in this area. There is nothing inherent necessarily about men and women that keeps women from acquiring this kind of expertise. But one of our main points is that it's not an inherent gap in knowledge necessarily. The real gap is in terms of acceptance. So for a woman, it's not about Andy and me sitting down to take an exam, getting our master's degree in sports fandom and therefore being credentialed and sure, official and legitimate. So there is no inherent gap necessarily in what we're capable of and what we might actually possess. The gap is in terms of being let into the club by those that are already members, and that's the Sportista's real struggle, I guess.
And let me just, as we close up here, ask, do you see that gap eventually going away and Sportistas are welcomed as equal players in the sports fan club community?
Yes, I think, of course, they're more than 20 years ago, and just like they were more athletes, absolutely. But ultimately, I think it will be an issue of what the sportistas really want and whether, in fact, this becomes an essential part of their identity. And I would argue it isn't. It's a choice. I mean, Emerly is, this is important to her and following, knowing, but it's not something that is crucial. And again, I think it has something to do with acceptance and expectation. Okay. With men, and by the way, I should add heterosexual men, being a sports fan is baseline. You're expected to be one. For women, you're not. And this is a difference. So I think ultimately, sure, women, clearly a Christine Brennan or a Joanne Gerstner or on and on, these are totally accepted sportistas and sport experts. Interestingly, by the way, the athletes are the least ones who are critical of them. The athletes treat them as completely as professionals.
Yes.
It's more the couch potatoes, the nerds, the ones that don't do, to whom actually sports knowledge is a form of identity.
Yes.
In other words, knowing, sitting around, it's they who are in fact sort of threatened by
kind
this.
Kind of hoity-toity about that.
Exactly. How do you know? What do you know about pass protection?
Yeah,
Why are you, and that's the issue. Really.
Fascinating, fascinating book, and it's called Sportista, Female Fandom in the United States, and it is out from Temple Press, and we have been talking with the co-authors. We have University of Michigan professor Andy Markovitz and U of M law student Emerly Albertson. Emerly, are you considering taking your legal training and going into some kind of sports area, do you think?
We will see.
You just have to survive law school, right?
Yeah.
Thanks so much for talking with us today on Stateside.
Thank you.
Thank you.